Each week here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Mounts presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello and a beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts. It is good to come in your homes today with another message of Something to Believe In. I trust today that God is richly blessing you. He is a blessing God, and God is God, and He'll never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I'm glad to report that to you. So let's get right into our service today by letting Martha do this song for us. It's a beautiful song. She's been doing it for several years now, and it says, "Even the valley.
I face a mountain, a trial of stone. Down in the valley, I felt so alone. Fearing that Satan would tempt and abuse. But God sent sweet comfort with this simple truth. There's not a place where God's hand can reach down. Even the valley is higher ground. I've soared with eagles and I've fallen low. Through peaks and through valleys, that's just way life goes. But I found the peace in the midst of despair when I discovered that God's everywhere. A place where God's hand can reach down. Even the valley is higher ground. Even the valley is higher ground.
Yes, sir, even the valley is higher ground. We're living on higher ground today. We're pressing toward that city. I want to remember my good friend Bryce Crook, who had a stroke and is in the Princeton Hospital. For Bryce, he had a stroke this week, and we're praying very hard for him. Praying for Doris Neely also. Becky Lilly, I hope that she's doing all right. She had a stroke also. And these things happen. All of a sudden, they just come, and there they are. But anyhow, we need to pray for these people. And they found Bryce, I think it was Tuesday, and he's in the Princeton Hospital now, if they haven't moved him to Charleston or somewhere. But let's pray hard for him. He's a great friend of mine. He's a great man of God. He loves the Lord with all of his heart, soul, mind, and spirit. And I can witness to that because I've been around him a whole lot of times. So let's go right now and listen to this song. And hope you enjoy this one also.
Lead me to the altar. Lead me to the altar. I hear Jesus, my Savior, calling me. His tender voice I hear. I feel His presence near. Lead me to the altar. Lead me. I was sitting in a little country church one Sunday night, listening to an old-time preacher. He was telling of God's saving grace, of His power, and of all of His might. Well, seated next to me was a dear old gentleman. His face was wrinkled, his hands were calloused, and his hair had already turned gray. As the preacher told of the home beyond the sky, the old gentleman bowed down his head. Tears came to his eyes, and when the invitation was given for those who had gone astray, he freely took me by the hand. And this I heard him softly say, "Well, I am old, blind, and feeble. I cannot find my way. I need a hand to guide me. Please help me lest I stray. I've lived my life in vain. My heart with sin is stained. Lead me to the altar. Lead me. Lead me to the altar. Lead me to the altar. I hear Jesus, Savior, calling me. His tender voice I hear. I feel His presence near. Lead me to the altar. Lead me."
Well, let's send it up to Bobby Coulter and Alicia and Cindy Coulter. They are very good to help us here on the radio ministry. Been helping us for many years, and I appreciate that. Without you, I would not be here. So today, I'm very thankful, very grateful for Bobby and Alicia and Cindy Coulter. What great friends they have been to us. And also, Ruby Dixon. I hope she's doing well today. And let's remember Martha. And I'll be telling you about Martha in just a moment. But anyhow, let's remember Glenna Brown also in the broadcast today. And Betty and John Spanger up in Linside. They haven't forgotten us. We haven't forgotten you, Betty. And hope you're listening today. No, we'll be having Martha a little get-together over at the home today at 2 o'clock. I've got to go to Red Sulphur. I've got to preach there this morning. And then I want to remember all the people up that way also. And then I'll be going on over at 2 o'clock. And you're welcome to stop by there and say hello to her. And we're just going to meet with her. It's her birthday is the 10th, but we're going to have it on the 11th. We're going to meet there and have some cake and ice cream together and just kind of socialize with Martha. So continue to remember Martha in your prayers. She needs your prayers. And I need your prayers, and there's so many people that need our prayers, and we're so glad that on this side of eternity we can still call on a God that hears and answers every prayer. Don't ever think that God's not listening, because God hears and answers our prayers. So let's go right now and listen to this song. Hope you enjoy this one. And I'm going to send this one up to Patty and Barry Harper. I hope they enjoy it.
I have journeyed through the cold, dark night, out on the ocean sea. Eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship has been battered.
much older now. And there's been many beauties that these old tired eyes have seen. But it was there in the night, through all the storms of my life. And that was where Jesus really proved himself of his love for me. For the anchor holds, though the ship has been battered, the anchor holds, though the sails are torn.
To his followers, and he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you with the question, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else?'" At that time, Jesus was healing many people of their sickness, disease, and the evil spirits. And he had given sight to the blind. Then Jesus answered John's followers, "Go and tell John what you saw and what you have heard. The blind can see, the cripple can walk. The people with skin diseases are being healed. The deaf are now hearing, and the dead have been raised to life. And the good news has been preached to the poor. Those who do not stumble in their faith because of me are blessed." When John's followers left, Jesus began talking to the people about John. "Now what did you go out into the desert to see? A reed? Something blown by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. People who have fine clothes and much wealth live in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I will tell you, John is more than a prophet. This was written about him: 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare for you.'" Verse 28, "I tell you that John is greater than any other person that was ever born. But even the least important person in the kingdom of God is greater even than John." Father, your word for your people, honor it. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said it?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to title this message today, "Strength That Cannot Be Bullied." Many preachers have talked about God doing new things. But you know, in my theology, I believe that God is always doing new things. We're seeing things happening today that people act as though it just happened. The gays, the homosexual movements, the television is covered. People are coming out of the closets, you know. Not long ago, they became brazen because the gays and the homosexuals kept themselves hid away in closets. They were afraid to identify as being gays and homosexuals. I do a recitation called "I Dream About Mama" last night. And in that recitation, I talk about how I used to be young and gay. And someone came to me and said, "Hey, preacher, in this day and time, you need to be more cautious about using the word of being gay." But it seems to me that the world, all of a sudden, They act as though they've ran in to a new vocabulary. But gays have been even since the beginning of time. All through the Bible, you will find them weeded in different places. Corinth, one of the most corrupt places. But today, we call it lifestyle. God calls it an abomination. But yet they say, well, this is the way that God made me. They also say that God made you from a monkey. But are you a monkey? It's not lifestyle. It's an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. It's abomination for man to lay with man. It's an abomination for a woman to lie with a woman. It's an abomination for a woman to marry a woman. It's an abomination for a man to marry a man. But they have crept in to our sanctuaries. Even in our pulpits today, you have churches that are literally gay churches, homosexual churches. Why, you have churches that are called the Satan churches, and they are Satan worshipers. But does that make it right in the sod? Has it just begun to happen? Well, I'll tell you, back in September the 11th, something happened. Our world was shaken by a great catastrophe, a greater than Pearl Harbor. All of a sudden, planes begin to fly in to the towers. Men and women begin to lose their lives. Recitations and songs have been written about it. And we will soon be celebrating a year from September the 11th. But something else happened at that time. The Christian realized that it's time to come out of the closets. So you see, I say today that all of a sudden, God has put a backbone back in the Christian. You see, we've always been called the weakling. We've always been called the coward. We've always been called the sissy. I remember when I used to go to school as a little boy. Just because I was a Christian, just because I was raised in a Christian home, some of the people would laugh at me and they would make fun of me because I was a Christian. I drove a school bus. And on that school bus, we would haul Christian children to Christian schools. And they laughed at them. They made fun of them and called them Christians. But you know what? I have seen those people who was laughed at, who was talked about, who left the bus many times with tears in their eyes because of the stand they took for Christ. But you see, they had a strength that couldn't be bullied. They hung on to Christ. They hung on to God. Regardless of all the opposition, they still stood for God. And today, they are prominent people in our community. They went on to be successful. They have successful homes and successful marriages. You see, folks, what I'm trying to say today is God is trying to put a backbone on the Christian. It's time, the Bible said, for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. It's time that we realize that we are not the tail, we are the head. Amen. So many people today say, well, the church is going under. Hey, folks, I read the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said the church is going over and going up. It ain't going down. Jesus said, I'll build a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham a long time ago. Back then, it was only Abram. You remember? When he made the covenant with Abram. But then after he made the covenant with Abram, he said, now you will be called Abraham. You see what he did? He put some ham on Abraham. He gave him a bravery that he could be able to stand. He would never bend. Jesus said, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed that is so easily shaken by the wind? I'm afraid today that as Christians, we have become the reed and not the strong tower that God has called us to be. I remember a man called Wishart. Now, I don't know whether you remember him, but he was a great preacher and a great philosopher. And at that time, they were martyring Christians. If you named the name of Christ, you were most generally put at the stake and burnt. That was when they had martyrs. But anyhow, Wishart claimed the name of Christ. So they took him out. Brother Elmo, they tied him to a stake. They put the brush fire all around him. They put the gas or what they were going to light it with. And then a man walked over with a torch in his hand. And Wishart looked down at him and said, sir, come close. He's tied to the post. And the man came very close. He said, come closer. And the man came closer. And he said, sir, just a little bit closer. And the man got as close as he could get, and Wishart reached over and kissed him on the cheek. And the man stood back and said, don't you know I'm getting ready to burn you at the stake? He looked at the man and he said, sir, for the cause of Christ, you are forgiven. You see, he had strength that could not be bullied. Even the flames of the fire that would burn him at the stake. But yet he stood faithful for God. But let me tell you what his faithfulness meant. There happened to be a man in the crowd called John Knox. John Knox at that time was not a Christian. John Knox watched this great man of God as he stood there courageously, as like Jesus said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And as John Knox watched him as he was being burnt alive, all of a sudden God touched his heart. And John Knox went on out to become one of the world's greatest preachers. You see, he had strength that could not be bullied. Songs have been written about David and Saul. The Bible said that Saul hath slain his thousands, but David hath slain his 10,000s. I'm talking about people who had strength. I'm talking about people who could not be moved. This day and time, we're so easily moved with every wind of doctrine. Paul said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the grace of God. I will assure you, my friend, if you have got the backbone and the courage and the strength to stand for God, He'll stand for you. We wave the flag across our nation, and we sing the song, God Bless America. But honey, when you look at America, she has been blessed. America has been blessed like no other nation. Why? Because we have held God high. We have been a Christian nation. That's why the world don't like us. Because, you see, a long time ago we decided that we would take the dollar bill and we would put on that, in God do we trust. And we have been a God-trusting nation. But today, we have infiltrated ourselves with many gods. We have infiltrated ourselves with those who say God has died in our time. Laugh Life magazine many years ago wrote an article that God has died in our time. Guess what? Life magazine died and God kept on living. God is trying to put a backbone in the Christian.
The old house I'm living in, well, it's need repair. The windows and the shutters letting in the cold, cold air. Well, I say to myself, I need to fix them. When I can get some time, but so many people, they say, why don't you get out of there and go find you a better place to live? Oh, but I just can't seem to get excited about this old world and what it's got to give. I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. You know, that's all that I've been thinking about. Most of the time, now that soon and very soon I'll leave this whole world so far behind. And lately I've got leaving all the mind. And lately I've got leaving all the mind.
Our fathers, will you touch us on a grace this morning? We pray for all of those who you have called us to pray for. We pray for Doris Neely. We pray for Bryce, God. We pray that you'll undergird him, lift him up in this time of trouble. Lift Martha up, God, give her a good day. Give her a great day today and a better day tomorrow. And, Lord, we trust you. We believe in you. And I'm praying for all of my unseen audience. I pray today that somehow or another that, God, if they don't know you in the free pardoness of sin, that they will meet you face to face and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. Father, I pray that prayer for someone today. I pray there's someone right now calling upon your heavenly name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Well, neighbor, don't forget now, we'll have a little get-together for Martha at 2 o'clock today over at the home. And she has a birthday on the 10th. That was yesterday. And we're going to have a little get-together at 2 o'clock. The family's going to gather there. And you're welcome to stop by if you'd like to and say hello to her. And a lot of people are praying for her, and a lot of people ask about Martha. And I wish I had more music by her, but I don't. So anyhow, you pray for her. Pray for me. I need your prayers. I need you to lift my hands up that I might be able to stand and continue to preach this glorious gospel by the means of radio. Well, I've got to get off from the air now, so you pray for me. I'll be praying for you, but until the same time next Sunday, may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.